You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
All right, good afternoon. It's Carl and my partner here, Dan, with Athena Protection. It is November the 9th, 2019. And we got some pretty interesting topics today. But before we get into that, I want to give our sponsors a chance to shout us out, which our sponsor is us. So tell us a little bit about Athena Protection and how you can reach us.
Well, Athena Protection is a security company that provides armed and unarmed security services. We also provide private investigation services. You can reach us on our website at www.athenaprotections.com. And you can reach us on our phone number, which is 1-800-951-4866. That's 1-800-951-4866.
Oh, okay.
And you can you can reach us on all social media at athenaprotection.com. Or Athena Protection Service, excuse me.
Services.
Yep.
So that's awesome. So, hey, check us out. Like I said, on all social media, that's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and I'm sure something else down the road. But anyway, Dan, what you got on your mind today? What are we going to talk about?
Today we are going to start off talking about suicide, and we're also going to talk about post-traumatic stress. And reasons I'm bringing this up is because it's a couple reasons.
Okay.
Well, first day is the day before the Marine Corps birthday. Absolutely. I'm a Marine Corps veteran. Semper Fi to all the Marines out there that listen to us. And then Veterans Day will be on Monday.
Absolutely.
And suicide is an issue in the armed services, and it's something I just wanted to cover. It's a topic that's near and dear to my heart.
Okay.
And, you know, we employ veterans, and we work with veterans all the time, and got veterans, other veterans in the family. So I think it's something that we need to talk about.
Most definitely. And you know what? Over and beyond Veterans Day, just going into the holiday season, we all know how that can be for people.
Right. You know?
So great topic.
Right. Yep, just families in general. So I want to talk about something that I got. And this is from the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention.
Okay.
Which briefly kind of talks about Department of Veteran Affairs and some stats that they got on veteran suicide, stating that veterans are commit suicide at a rate 1.5 times greater than a non-veteran population. Over 6,000 veterans die by suicide each year. In 2016, over 58% of veteran suicides were among veterans older than 54, and then the rate of suicide between the ages of 18 and 34 have been increasing over the last 10 years.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
So that's just some basics on suicide. Just anybody that's ever had to deal with it or ever had the thoughts of suicide, that you always want to reach out and talk to somebody. Usually there's always some warning signs that we'll get into in a little bit. But
okay.
Personally, I've had one of them was a veteran, commit suicide.
Oh, wow. And this, sorry to hear that.
He was in his 30s at the time. Okay. So he's in that age bracket that they're talking about. So out there, if anybody ever feel like, you know, you don't have anybody to talk to, there's tons of resources out there that you can reach out to that we will provide following the podcast, that you can call and talk to somebody and or get information to get the proper counseling help that you may need.
Okay. That's most definitely, like I said, a topic that we all, if we haven't personally dealt with it, know someone who's dealt with losing a family member or a close friend or something like that to suicide. And like you said, there are some warning signs, and hopefully today we can help someone, either help someone else out or help someone who feels like they don't have opportunity to get help.
Right. So some numbers that we got here, and these are just some a couple of stats that they presented. The suicide is the 10th leading cause of death in the U.S.
Okay.
In 2017, 47,000 Americans died by suicide. And in 2017, there was an estimated 1.4 million attempts. Then they got some additional facts.
He said this was from 2017.
Additional facts. We got men three and a half times more likely than women. Highest rate is actually middle-aged white men that they produce on here. Okay. And on average, there's 129 suicides per day. And firearms account for 50% of all suicide deaths.
Oh, wow.
Which is why we always want to promote safety and security and make sure that, you know, people just get the help that they need.
Absolutely, because those are some staggering numbers. Right. Us men, we got to learn how to express ourselves and reach out and talk. I mean,
right.
I don't want to go down that rabbit hole right now, but, man, when it comes to us men and doing a good job of communicating, I'm sure the ladies would clap for that, but as well as, you know, going to the doctor on a regular basis or, you know, seeking help when you need it. You know, we wear big, you know, we have big shoulders and we wear our pride on those shoulders. And sometimes it's okay for you to say you need help. I'm sure the people out here who love you would tell you that most definitely.
Right. So let's go over some of those warning signs and factors for suicide prevention.
Right. So we talk about suicide today, which, like we said, is most definitely a great topic to talk about. But some of the things that lead to suicide, I was just looking over some of the notes here, which was very interesting, I should say, is not really one single cause for suicide. Most often it occurs when stresses as well as our health issues create certain experiences, I think, as well as people like to talk about depression as being a common condition associated with suicide. And also just it goes a lot of time, even a depression goes undiagnosed or untreated. You know, people say they stressed and depressed and whatnot, but don't really know how to go about treating that or getting some help with it. And conditions like that, along with substance problems, you know, mm-hmm. so, you know, utilizing, you know, drugs, alcohol, most definitely can increase those feelings. But it's important to note that most people who actively manage their mental health, which we all could use some management on that, I'd say, typically go on to engage in life successfully. But again, talking about some of the warning signs, just one of them is the way that people talk. If a person's talking about killing themselves, feeling hopelessness, or having no reason to live, we also hear people saying things like just being a burden to others or feeling trapped or unbearable pain. And then some of the behaviors, too. When we talk about that, behaviors like especially if you see or have dealt with a painful event, you know, you lose a family member, you some traumatic happen. Lose a job, most definitely one that, you know, can turn some people into feeling hopelessness. And then you'll see within those behaviors, maybe increase in use of alcohol or drugs, looking for ways to end their life, such as searching online methods for it, withdrawal from activity. Somebody who normally is active with friends and family, maybe now they're, you know, a little bit more withdrawn. And so many times, and I just want to stop on there for a minute, so many times I've heard people make statements like such and such, I ain't heard from them in weeks. And, you know, I reached out to them and they ain't respond. You know, they tripping or acting funny, as we like to say. But sometimes we got to be a little bit more investigative and take off that looking at yourself, taking it personal hat and say, hey, maybe I need to reach out to this person and, you know, they ain't answering. Maybe I need to just go knock on their door. I deal with them being upset about that, but I got to come and check on, you know, my brother, my sister, my, you know, whoever it is. You know, if you have people in your life that are doing things outside of the norm like that, right. Go check on them. Go check right. on your people. But most definitely some other ones, sleeping too much or too little. Mm-hmm. That's one that we take our health for granted. We got to get that rest. We right. all like to say if you sleep, you can't get that money. And, you know, mm-hmm. we Detroit hustlers, we always on our grind. But,
right.
hey, this body is a machine and you got to take care of it. And part of the maintenance on this machine is most definitely getting some rest.
Right.
And then let's talk about, you know, another warning sign. It's the mood. Mm-hmm. People who are considered suicidal often display one or more of the following moods. We talked about depression, but anxiety. We talked a little bit about loss of interest in things. But irritability, you know, quick to go off the handle, something that may not be that person's character. Even if you think it is their character, still something that you want to look at and maybe assess and see maybe there are some concerns there. So those are some of the things that okay. most definitely are some warning signs, I think.
One thing to consider is if somebody tell you or they show these signs, it's okay to ask them if they're thinking about committing suicide. It's okay to let them know that it's okay if they're not okay.
Absolutely. And, that's a great point.
You also want to know if they got a plan. If somebody talking about suicide and you want to know if they got a plan or not, you want to know how far along they thought this out in the process, and you want to always get them some help. Don't commit to secrecy if somebody tell you they're thinking about committing suicide. You know, this is a big issue just in our community in general, and just something that I wanted to touch on briefly today. Moving forward, I would like to get a couple of professionals in here where we can go okay. in depth and, you know, we can talk about suicide from a clinical or depression or, you know, different mental health conditions from a clinical standpoint where they would be able to give us some more information, more so than me and you can sit up here and talk
Absolutely.
About
Absolutely. But so, most definitely a topic that right. for this time of year is valid.
So something else, since we talking about the military in general, I want to talk about post-traumatic stress a little bit.
Okay.
And post-traumatic stress comes from being in just a stress-triggered event, basically.
Right.
So a lot of times we compare, you know, post-traumatic stress to the military. Just me and myself going through Iraq and being in, you know, that kind of environment for 8 months, it definitely gave me some post-traumatic stress that I didn't even really realize I had. It had
oh,
to be
really?
Pointed out to me. So
now, when did this happen? When you
this was,
were there or once you got back home?
Well, I didn't really pick up on it until when I got home. You know,
okay.
when you're around a bunch of people and y'all under distress every day, you know, y'all kind of work and feed off of each other and kind of deal with each other. But
interesting.
When you get home, that's when the changes in your mood, the irritability, you know, those things kind of pick up and, you know, your family noticed the changes in you. So
oh,
like
wow.
when I came home, I could tell you like I was extremely irritable, extremely short. I remember constantly being told by people I'm not in the Marine Corps, don't boss me around. You know, and I just had,
okay.
you know, I just had no patience at all for people. We would ride up the road. I remember being just cautious all the time, just hypervigilant, just looking around at everything, looking at trash bags, looking at things that, you know, don't really mean anything to the normal citizen. But to me, it presented some kind of danger, even though I was at home.
Okay.
So that
excuse
just
me.
In my temper, you know, I was just quick triggered more than usual, and I'm kind of a laid back guy. You consider me to be
exactly.
patient and, you know, just kind of relaxed and chill. No patience, real quick to get angry, real quick to want to go violent, you know, drinking too much. I was doing all that when I came home and just wasn't really picking up on it.
Okay.
When I came home, I just thought, you know, I'm having a couple of drinks after work, or, you know, I'm asking for me, it's a simple task to be done, but it's the way I was talking, and it's the way I was moving, and the way I would get angry over anything.
Okay.
Like one day I was, my cousin came over to use the bathroom, and we almost got into a fight about it because he was at my mother's house. And I was, okay. You know, I'm telling him, don't just come over here to use the bathroom. And like it turned into an issue, you know, when it shouldn't have been an issue. And that was that's me, you know, just dealing with the circumstances of what I had been through and not really knowing, you know, how to handle it and not talking to nobody about it. So that's why I always say that if you got some issues or you've been through some kind of combat or something, or you've been in that arena and you come home and it's, you know, a lot of it is, you know, if your family pick up on it, don't be too prideful to get some help and talk to somebody if you need some help. Absolutely.
And, you know, hopefully if there's one person out there to hear that and can assess that, because you really took us on a journey through that coming home. Was this something that was immediately getting back home that the stress and, mm-hmm. and the way you were handling things, was it something that you noticed? I mean, I'm sure you didn't notice it mm-hmm. then, but was it something that, looking back on it, that was immediate once you were home, or was it gradual?
We ended up at work. It kind of popped up. One day at work when, you know, we was all talking after deployment, we had been home, you know, you go on leave, then you come back to your base and, you know, we all was sitting around talking and, you know, we had some commonalities among how we were being talked to at home and what we were doing at home.
Okay.
And then, you know, we started exchanging notes and started, you know, realizing that we had changed a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, everybody was saying, you know, you're irritable, or, you know, you're testy, or you short patience and things like that.
Okay.
And I think, and I'm going to compare my police experience to a military. In a police department, we kind of get to, I want to say we kind of get to de-stress or the work of the day off you. At the end of the shift, you know, we talked about choir practice last week where, you know, we all get together. We talk about what we went through that day and, you know, how we felt about whatever situation we went through, and we drink. And then it's, you know, it's kind of done with, and then we able to move on to other things.
Okay.
And, you know, in the police department, your stress level is constantly up and down. You know, you could be a high speed chase, you could be some kind of shooting, or it could be, you know, some kind of gruesome murder scene, or
exactly.
A suicide scene. It could be all of these things within a week, or sometimes you get a couple of things in a day, you know, that's trying on you and emotional on you. And then, you know, you decompress at the end of the day. But when you in theater, and you overseas and you in with an infantry battalion, that stress level was heightened and is different from police work. You know, it's not just that 8-hour shift. You are there all day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, months on end. And that stress level is much, much different than patrol. So
I can't even imagine. Shout out to our veterans again. Happy Veterans Day.
Yeah, and I mean, just the living conditions, and it's just different overseas, and you're dealing with a lot more. And I think, I don't think we were prepared going in for what we would deal with mentally.
Okay.
Or I don't think the preparation for going back home was proper, you know, and being able to know what you may deal with, you know, how you may be feeling.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And how you can cope with it and how you can overcome what you're dealing with. You know what I'm saying? They kind of just do like this brief. And then you do a survey. And if they find you to have some kind of PTSD, then you go see somebody. But it don't really.
How soon is this after you get back home?
It was within a week or so. They do the little answer these questions. But it's so informal. You know what I'm saying? It kind of don't hit home for what you need. You know what I'm saying? I think that instead of having that process where it's you checking off stuff in a box, you actually sit down and talk to somebody.
Exactly.
And kind of go over, you know, what you're experiencing and how you're feeling once you get home. And they don't really, at the time, and I'm talking 10 years ago, they didn't really do
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Okay.
So.
Some interesting stuff there. Most definitely, again, with it being Veterans Day, just for anyone out there that has a veteran in their life, you know, those some topics that or some scenarios that you brought up, just mm-hmm. assessing yourself.
Right.
And even going back and sitting down with your peers or other veterans and seeing that consistency, you know, knowing this, you know, to someone that's got a veteran in your life, especially mm-hmm. a veteran that's been deployed, keep these things in mind. This is some important stuff where we can help someone out.
Yeah. So that's veterans, that's active duty or active duty military personnel or veterans. Because there's a lot of people that's deployed a lot of places and experienced many things, and they still haven't gotten help. And I'm talking Vietnam and different eras of
absolutely.
War. And they just dealing with it internally. You know what I'm saying? And they're not talking to people. So don't be afraid to talk to somebody and get it out of your system and let somebody know what's going on.
Good point.
So I got four types of symptoms for PTSD that I was looking up.
Oh, okay.
And those would be, I just want to go over real quick, because since we on the topic. All right.
And Dan, before we get into those topics, mm-hmm. Just in case we had anyone that joined us late today, let's go over again how you can reach Athena Protection.
Again, you can reach Athena Protection at our website, and that's at www.athenaprotections.com. You can reach us on our 1-800 number, which is 1-800-951-4866. Or you can reach us on any social media outlet at Athena Protection Service.
All right. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So you're going to get into some of the symptoms.
Right. Four type of symptoms they got here is intrusion symptoms. And that's unwanted distress and memories of the traumatic event, recurring trauma or related nightmares, flashbacks, and intense emotional distress or psychological reactions to trauma reminders.
Okay.
I can tell you one day this happened to me recently, or something that happened to me yearly, I'll tell you. Is during the holidays and there's fireworks going off, it reminds me of gunfire at night in Iraq. And I had that reminder like every year I think about that. Or one day this is the strangest thing that probably ever happened to me. I was riding home one day and I was looking at my phone and I was in the passenger seat and I look up.
Wasn't texting and driving.
No, I wasn't texting and driving. So I look up and I don't know where I am. And the way the scenario looks, it looked like I'm overseas somewhere. And I immediately panic and my anxiety go up. You know what I'm saying? And that happened to me last year, I think, or the year before. It was the first time I had ever experienced something like that, where I felt like I was somewhere other than where I was at. So
interesting.
You know, these things are real and they do happen to people and nobody ever talks about it. Like, I don't really talk about it that much out in the open or with people. I just kind of deal with it, you know, on my own. Not on my own, because I do talk to people and I do go to counseling for it. And so I do see somebody about it.
That is so awesome. I am getting help. I was going to say that's most definitely something that we have to do better.
Right.
Don't be afraid to ask for help.
So what I want to do right now is I want to kind of turn this into our other thing that we do, and that's the foundation work.
Okay. Talk a little bit about that.
So we have Athena Protection Foundation, and what that is a foundation, a 501c3, and that foundation is to support crime victims. And so we're talking about PTSD, and PTSD is not a singular military issue. Is something that regular civilians can encounter and have from any kind of traumatic event. And it's something that we need to address, because a lot of times people may be suffering from PTSD from their just regular life traumatic events, and we're not addressing it or looking at it, those symptoms, properly. So these traumatic events can be being threatened with a weapon. It could be physical assault, sexual violence, childhood physical abuse, or accidents. Those are just some of the things that your civilian population, being robbed, you know, just those kind of things can trigger some forms of PTSD or different levels of depression that I don't think that we properly look at.
It's a great point.
Right.
Too many times, especially when you live in a stressful environment, just, you know, that mirrors being overseas as a active military personnel, going through what they're going through. It's the same as being someplace where you feel the stressful in the day-to-day life. Like you said, you brought up some great examples of the threat of violence that you may encounter in a particular area, or with, you know, people who are going through dealing with violence in the home. I think you touched on that a little bit also.
Yes, I did. So a lot of that can have some post-traumatic stress. People can get treatment. There's different kinds of therapy that people can get for that kind of treatment. And I just feel like with our work and what we're doing, I want to just bring some awareness, you know, to these things that, you know, that people are going through, and make sure that they get resources so that they can get some kind of help.
Absolutely. So for anyone out there that's listening, man, this is a topic that's most definitely important that people understand that just talking to somebody, you know, saying it out loud to somebody, you know, you never know. It's kind of like those situations when you in a classroom setting and the instructor says there is no such thing as a dumb question, because I guarantee you the question that you inquire, there's probably two or three other people that, you know, have that same question. So if you're feeling like you, you know, unfortunately feel like suicide is something that you possibly mm-hmm. need to do, you know, talk to somebody, please. You know, right. We can't stress that enough. You know, open up and talk to someone. And for anyone that's out there with family members or friends, you know, talk to them. Do those checks on your friends. Don't just take it personal that they don't respond to you.
All right. So for the foundation, so anybody that's interested, I would like for them to reach out to the foundation, go to our website. And the website is AthenaProtectionFND.org. And that's Athena Protection, F as in Foxtrot, N as in November, D as in Delta.org. You can reach us at that website, where we are working to support crime victims and provide support to anybody that has been encountered in any kind of criminal act against them, where they have been victimized. Currently, we are working on domestic violence victims, working with domestic violence victims, and we are working to get a grant to provide temporary shelter to the domestic violence victims.
Okay.
So that's where our focus is right now. So hopefully in the next few months, we'll be able to provide some information on that, about how we are, our progress with getting a grant and being
great.
Able to provide
most definitely something we can follow
shelter
up on.
For something like that.
And we're always looking for people that donate, as well as if they, again, feel like any of these things that we're offering, if you can think of someone who could utilize these services, please reach out to us. Can't stress that enough.
All right, so what I want to do at this point is I want to kind of go over some of the things that also trigger some mental health issues in the community.
Okay.
And sexual assault trauma is one of them. Symptoms of that include eating disorders, sleeping disorders, lead to depression, anxiety, so leads to PTSD, and it'll lead to lying, stealing, truancy, running away, these different types of issues. Again,
see those type of behaviors a lot of time with our younger people,
right?
And feeling like they, for them, I think it's not even necessarily the embarrassment that some people may have with talking, but for them, I think a lot of time it's being scared,
right? And holiday season is coming up, so we want to just a word of caution out there. 74% of sexual assaults happen inside of the home, of the person's home, which and in most cases, they know who the perpetrator is. Usually, if somebody's sexual assaulted, they know who that person is that's sexually assaulting them. It's not a stranger. So holidays coming up, be mindful of who you leave with your children. And be mindful of, you know, who you're with. Be mindful of what you're drinking, who you're drinking with, and things of that nature. Date rape is a serious issue during the holiday season as well. So you want to make sure that you're not out drinking and you leave your drink somewhere and come back and drink it, and then you wake up
exactly
somewhere that you didn't remember being. So just for the holidays, you know, we wanted to just do this particular episode and kind of talk about just some precautions that you want to look out for. And that's the suicide that take place during the holidays, which is veteran related or sometimes not. It could be trauma within somebody's life. Cautious when you're out doing your shopping and there's people standing around, there's people waiting on opportunities to take advantage of you. So you want to look people in their face when you're talking to them, when you see them, speak to them, so that they recognize that you recognize them.
Absolutely.
That, you know, you're able to describe who they were, what they were wearing, what they were doing, what they were driving, anything. You want to make sure you get those details on people while you're out if somebody's acting out of character when you're out doing your shopping this holiday season. And
that's just a rule of thumb in general. But most definitely because the holiday season, we tend to carry a little more money than we normally would. We tend to be a little more distracted with going out and doing holiday shopping and visiting and whatnot. And most definitely making sure that you are careful out there in the roads. We touched a little bit on the PTS.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, did I say that right? I hope
it's post-traumatic stress. That's okay.
I'm sorry.
We know what you mean.
Messing that up. We want to be correct. But yeah. I personally went through a car accident a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself sometime now on the road, obviously, you know, I'm going to be a little more cautious, but just really there has been a time or two where I'm reliving that situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could have been a lot worse. Luckily I'm here, you know, without a lot of major injuries. But just when you said that, it kind of had me to thinking, it's like, you know, that's for me to feel those little things. And obviously it's not having me feeling suicidal or depressed or anything like that, but most definitely is heighten my focus on that. But I do feel that anxiety sometime on the road now when it's busy and there's similar situations to when the accident occurred. So I could see how, you know, that could be a factor in someone ending up being in a situation where it starts out, you know, with the anxiety and, you know, maybe you withdrawn now, you don't want to drive all the time and you start not wanting to do things and you start getting withdrawn. So don't every stone unturned, I guess, is the best way I can say it. Don't discount when, if you're not feeling like, you know, you normally feel, don't just hack it up to, you know, money. Obviously money is a tough topic, especially this time of year with utilities as well as, you know, holiday shopping, but some great points.
Right. So I can tell you just a situation with me I had for years.
Okay.
I was in an accident with my mother and another cousin was in the car, and we were hit, and the car spun out all the way across the road. And
did you run?
Yeah, I was in the back seat. Okay. I was in the passenger seat, but this accident. My cousin was in the back seat, and we were hit on my side of the car, and then the car spun across the street. We spun about 4 or 5 times, I think.
Oh, wow.
And for years, I would panic if I saw headlights in my peripheral vision, not knowing that this is a potential condition from the accident. You know, right. just for years, I would just have that panic. Whenever I would be just sitting at a light or, you know, when cars are coming and if I'm looking this way, and I see lights coming, it'll just trigger something in me. It's just like a little bit of fear. So, you know, it's definitely real. And, you know, my objective today was just to kind of provide a little bit of awareness to just what's going on out there, just from a mental health aspect of, you know, Veterans Day is coming up again, like I said, and it's an issue in the veteran community of suicide, and I just wanted to bring some awareness to it. And also just awareness to PTSD, and just for people to know that this is not an isolated situation for veterans. Is any of us can get PTSD from any traumatic event that we may experience.
Absolutely. So, we was able to reflect on quite a few personal experiences. Yeah.
You know, we just don't know what it is, and we don't want to stigmatize the name either. It doesn't mean that you're crazy, and it doesn't mean they're going to take
your... Great point, exactly.
You're not going to take your guns away. That's not what it means. It just means you need some help, and you got stress from a situation that you've been through. So, you know, I don't want people to try to steer clear of it because of the name or because they call it a mental health condition. It's something, you know, that we experience. We need help. We can get help, and we can live and learn how to cope with it.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great point. And again, you know, we can't stress this enough. You know, there's someone out here who's been feeling away, been wondering why they were so anxious when they're on the road, or maybe feeling some kind of way because they got robbed, or they saw some traumatic, or it was some type of sexual assault. There's other people who have been through these things and unfortunately didn't reach out for help because, like you said, we talked about either being scared or feeling embarrassed. There's no such thing as being, I shouldn't say no such thing, but you just shouldn't be embarrassed or scared to talk about these things.
Right.
You know, get the help.
So, yeah, I guess that, man, it seemed like this is, like I'm trying to bring this awareness, but I got so many stories of me going through stuff.
It's good, man. It's most definitely things that are relatable. Right. As I said, sitting here assessing myself a little bit because I went through a pretty traumatic car accident. The car was totaled out. So these things, someone else has been through a car accident, I'm sure, within the last 3 to 6 months, and you may be wondering why you felt the way you felt.
Right.
And before it gets too far out of hand, hearing us talk about it today, so most definitely your stories are helping someone, hopefully, today.
Right.
Not make that choice to think that that's the solution.
Mm-hmm.
So continue on. You got another story you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, and I share this at every CPL class that we do because it's just relevant to the course. So in 1999, I was carjacked by a few people. It was just multiple gunmen this night. It was myself and somebody else was with me. And having a gun in my face and, you know, a life-threatening situation didn't scare me. The guy was little, and it pissed me off more than I was afraid.
Okay. At the time when it happened.
At the time. You know what I mean? I was never afraid, but at the time, I was so mad, like, that I was helpless. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it made me feel somebody you know, got the drop on me and I felt helpless about it. You know what I'm saying? And I felt anger. And I felt like when it was over, I wanted to do something about it. You know what I mean? And it, you know, I think it's a good thing that I didn't find him that night and I didn't find the car and I didn't find him. I'd probably be in jail. So, okay. But I think what it led to was my going to the police department and wanting to help people. It led to me wanting to do something for people that's been in those kind of helpless situations. And absolutely. They wasn't able to, you know, defend themselves or, you know, at the time, like I didn't know what resources was available that I had at my disposal. So that's why we do what we do with the foundation. I want people to be able to know what's available to them. And also, you know, we provide that security because I want to help people. And then, you know, I was on the police department because of what happened to me. You know, I wanted to get the bad guy. I wanted absolutely. To catch people that were doing bad things. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's, you know, kind of led me, you know, to where I am today. And but like I was saying, that situation, I think, gave me more like a helplessness feeling.
Okay.
And a lot of anger than it did like fear. I don't think I experienced any stress from it. I mean, I may have, but it made me obviously hypervigilant. Every time I went somewhere, I was always looking around and making sure that I wasn't in that particular situation again.
Absolutely.
But having something like that happen, it definitely changes you and your perspective on life and just how you kind of go about your day and how you look at things and okay. how you look at people, period. So, and I know some people, they may react different to, you know, being in those kind of situations, but it launched me into wanting to help people and be a force, you know, against, you know, people that's committing crimes and you know, doing absolutely. People wrong.
So shout out to you for that. So many times we had this impression of, I think more so with our police officers in this current climate, we don't have anywhere near the time to touch on it, but just to talk about the stress level and, you know, we say things like you're paid to, you know, mm-hmm. to do the job. And
right.
I get it. You know, yeah. we got some people out there that aren't qualified to do the job for mm-hmm. for whatever reason. But just to be able to touch base and just kind of a let's think about not just ourselves, but others when we think about the level of stress that people are dealing with. And not saying we justify any wrongs, but try to have a better understanding on mm-hmm. how we approach and deal with different individuals. Because
right.
if we haven't heard it once, we've heard it 1,000 times. You don't know what somebody else is going through.
Right.
And we say that sometimes not realizing that a big one is somebody might be going through something where they really feel like they're not supposed to be here.
Right.
And if we can look at people not for the just the outer part of it, but look a little deeper, I think we can really maybe change the narrative and help somebody out.
Right. And just for like just that police perspective and people telling you they pay your salary and different things like that. I mean, they deal with a lot. They absolutely. Deal with a lot. And I mean, we talking about, you may have a domestic violence situation from that situation. You may deal with somebody's dead child in that family. And then you going through all those emotions with those people. And then, you know, you're dealing with a robbery and something like that. And then you confront somebody who's telling you they pay your salary and you better do what they say and things like that. And that officer may lose it on you. So that's why I always say, be considerate to people and treat people the way that you want them to treat you.
Right. And even on a lighter note, just in general, too many times I think that people feel like they can't have a disagreement with somebody and it not be a violent or an angry exchange. You know, just because we disagree on something doesn't mean, especially when you're talking about people who you deal with, coworkers, family members, friends,
right.
Because you guys disagree on something doesn't mean that you don't like one another.
Right.
Agree to disagree and move on with life.
Right. So I guess to wrap up, I guess I would, what I want to do under the video, I'm going to put resources for, suicide prevention, phone numbers that people can reach out and talk to.
Absolutely.
I will put some charities that we deal with directly along with ours for any crime victim support that people may be interested in getting, or you don't know if you need it, or it's maybe something you don't know. I'll put that information out for people to see as well. But really, I just wanted to kind of touch on, you know, the suicide situation, not only in a veteran community, but also, you know, in a civilian community as well. It's something that we don't talk about enough, the mental health aspect of PTSD and people dealing with crimes and learning to cope with those situations. We don't talk about that enough either, and I want to make that a topic of discussion today.
Well, I really appreciate that, that we had opportunity to talk about this, because if we can just change one person's perspective on life and and their necessity to be here, because you may think you don't need to be here or feel like you shouldn't be here. And of course, there are people that disagree with you on that. But we understand that you can't see that sometime.
Right.
You can't see it. And what you can do is just say something to somebody. Right. And for the family or friends who have somebody that's different or acting differently, reach out to them. Do those welfare checks. Maybe don't call the police to do the welfare check. Go do it yourself.
Yeah.
But again, not to slight the police. Shout out to those men and women that do that every day. My hat's off to them.
Right.
But can't say enough.
It means a lot. I'll say this. It means a lot to people when you check on them. And you,
it does.
You show up and see how they're doing. So it doesn't. A phone call. There's a guy I know. He never answers my phone calls. He never answers my texts. But one day when I saw him, he thanked me for constantly sending messages and checking on them.
That's awesome.
So you may not think people care. If they're not responding, just keep reaching out and letting them know that you're thinking about them, that somebody care about them, that somebody love them. It does mean something.
Right. Don't just think somebody acting funny.
Right.
Reach
out
to
people. They may
be
going through something. So.
And sometimes it can be the life of the party. Don't just assume that that person doesn't need need someone to ask how they're doing.
Right.
Great point. But hey, great. We got just a few more seconds here left, just in case someone just tuned in. Shame on you. But let's go over how you can get in touch with us one more time before we end the show today.
You can get in touch with us through any social media at Athena Protection Service. You can reach us on our phone number at 1-800-951-4866. That's 1-800-951-4866. Or you can reach us on our website at athenaprotections.com. All that information will be posted under the video so people can see how to get in touch with us or get any resources that they may need for mental health or for any victim advocate support.
Great. And hey, for anyone out there that's following us on any of those social networks, please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button on YouTube, and share this information. If it doesn't pertain to you, share it. I guarantee you somewhere within your followers, there's somebody that could use this. If we can touch one person, this will be a successful podcast today. So hit that like button and hit that share button out there for us, friends and family. We really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. All right.